and welcome to a bonus edition, 169 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. Once again, we are brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up for the game for free by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. I'm sports journalist Michael Bailey. We are still here at our home away from home, the delightful Rushcutters Pub in Thorpe, in Norwich, basically. And joining us again, our two times Beckles kart champion Carl Cumbers and motoring journalist David Tillier. I haven't offered them another drink, I haven't offered anyone another drink, actually, so that's going to be bad brownie points. We'll see how this goes. They might hold it against me. So those two are with us, as they were for our Monaco review podcast, which you can still catch on the NRF1 subscription feeds or visit nrf1.uk. It's episode 168. But we were also joined for that podcast by an F1 fan who had just moved to Norfolk, NRF1 debutant Stuart Webber. And the astute amongst you may have twigged that Mr. Webber, that's what I have to call him from now, is also arguably, you'll like this, the most powerful sports professional in Norfolk.
Oh, that's a statement.
I mean, I think that's probably trick cut.
Norfolk, isn't it?
One thing. Would you agree with that, Carl?
Yes, yeah, as a season ticket holder. Yes, I would agree. Oh, yeah.
God, no. Bring that up now. We're not allowed to talk about football. There we go. Would you like to tell people what your actual role is, Stuart?
Sports director at Norwich City. I had to think, man.
You did? Yeah, well, at least you've got it nailed now, so that's good. So we're going to try and go through all sorts of things, but your time is pressing, so we'll see how we get on. But how do you get into a job like that?
Oh, God knows. Just worked out I wasn't good enough to play football, so went down the coaching route, went into scouting, got some lucky moves, and eventually end up in beautiful Norfolk.
And it is beautiful. I mean, the sun's just come out. Rushcutters Pub on the river. We've got people. Andy Whitney, listener in the States, he would love, it's on his list, to come here, have fish and chips with us by the river and listen to the podcast.
He should do it.
He
should do it right now. We won't regret it.
You tell him. That's what I like. Here's a question. What did you want to be when you left school? Was it a sporting director?
No, it was Formula One driver.
Yes.
Or probably manager of Wales. Football, for the record, yeah.
Could still happen. Did they have a sporting director in the Welsh?
I'll be Formula One driver. No. Manager of Wales could happen one day, yeah. Who knows?
I like the ambition. I love this. Right, we do ask our debut F1 questions. We didn't ask them in the podcast, in the Monaco review podcast, so I'll ask them now. Favourite ever Formula One driver?
Damon Hill.
Oh, Rich will love you for that. Rich would have been here today, but we couldn't squeeze him in. Yeah. He's a massive Damon Hill fan.
Yeah, I mean, that's the era I sort of got into it, the sort of, what would that be, early to mid-90s. I was gutted, actually, the first time I ever went to a race was Silverstone 98 when it was down. It's when, if you remember, Schumacher won, but sitting in the pit lane.
What a highlight of Formula One that was.
Absolutely. It's certainly got better over the years. Not. And I'll never forget, he was racing for Jordan then and didn't complete the first lap, so I never actually got to see him.
Oh.
So, I never saw him race, to be honest, but he was the one, you know, at that time. And I'll never forget the race when he won at Spa. Remember that famous day in the rain when Schumacher ran up there to Coulthard and that, and I've got a picture of it at my house, and yeah, I don't know, something about him.
Beautiful. Favourite ever team?
Oof. I would have said McLaren, but I've massively fallen out with love. That's like been the love of your life, and then she cheats on you and you never speak to her again. That's how I feel about McLaren at the moment.
I'd say more they've just let herself go. Or himself go, and they're just a slob in the corner of the room. You're like, get out of my house.
Get out of my house now, actually, yeah. And then, I probably always like Ferrari, you know, the glamour of the red and you know, the Tifosi at, you know, Monza and all these sort of stuff, you know. So probably that. But I've always more followed drivers and teams, to be honest. I've never been, like, a diehard for a team.
Prost or Senna?
Oh, Senna.
Heikki Kovalainen or Jarno Trulli?
Jarno Trulli.
That's fine. That's good. Yeah, we'll take that. Absolutely. So how did you get in the sport? Was it from family, or did you just pick up it yourself?
No, it's actually my mother and uncle. So who are brother and sister. They are huge fans. Like, my mum's a huge Senna fan, hence why Senna. And then my uncle used to take me to different racing at Brands Hatch Donington over the years, and then Silverstone in 98 for the first time. So they're the ones who sort of truly love it, and that's why I went to Monaco actually, for my uncle's 60th, as a bit of a sort of, you know, gift to him for all his hard work over the years, bless him. But yeah, them really got me infused in it, and we've been to watch classic races together and all sorts of stuff, so it come from them.
So I mean, I've got here first F1 memory, but you've clearly been going to races like for, well, since you're really little.
Yeah, Formula 1 98 was the first time, and I would have been, what would have been then, 14. But before that, going to stuff like touring cars and anything really that my uncle would take me to. He's a massive bike fan as well, so went to a few of the World Superbikes and British Superbikes. So they've sort of just ingrained motorsport into me, and then always followed Speedway, believe it or not, as well. So I've just, yeah, sort of got the bug from that, and it's a nice right relief from the day job, to be honest.
Yeah, I can imagine that. You did want to be a driver then. When did you twig it might not happen as a driver? Why are you like me, who still thinks it will happen one day?
I still think it's there.
Yes!
I often say to the wife, who laughs at me, I don't know, I think I've got something special.
Yeah.
You know, when you do someone at a roundabout or something. But
within the speed limit.
Of course, absolutely. You know, when you get past that 80-year-old at a roundabout, yeah, and you're like, yeah, it's still there.
It took you down.
Yeah, you know, in their Micra. It's like, can't keep up with me, can you?
We're still going to do the NRF1 race license thing, aren't we, at some point?
And we were going to set up our own team. Seriously, Stuart, stay on board. We've got big ideas. Yeah. But I constantly say, if I won the lottery tomorrow, the first thing I'd do is get a racing license and just start driving around tracks.
Like Max Chilton.
Yes.
Just buy your way into it.
Exactly. Harsh. I think you could label it with normal. Actually, it reminds me, I've got to ask you this question, which Richard Baxter flagged up, and Perry Hamilton will want me to ask you. Where do you stand on Pastor Maldonado?
I love him.
Now, the answer is on his head, because Perry really doesn't like Pastor Maldonado, but you love him.
Yeah, I think he was entertaining, wasn't he? You know, he would make a dull race interesting. You know, and that win in Spain will always stick out back in the day.
Like a sore thumb.
Like a sore thumb. I don't know, there's something entertaining about him. I think you'd stay tuned in for him because something was coming, you know. He would have done a Jensen type thing.
Yeah, well, no,
a lot earlier.
Yes.
You wouldn't have waited to lap 60 on lap or whatever. Yeah.
That is spot on. Okay, I've got here a question. Would you want to work in the sport? Did you ever want to work in the sport?
Yeah, definitely would have liked to have done. And yeah, who knows, one day, you know, I don't know if the jobs could cross over at all. I don't know. Probably they'd probably laugh at me and say absolutely no chance. Yeah. But it's a bit like when everyone wants to be a football manager or a footballer or whatever. I'm probably the same with Formula One. I watch it and go, come on, your strategy's wrong, do this, do that. I am your stereotypical TV expert when it comes to that sport, and they'd probably think I'm a nut, to be honest.
So I want to go a little bit lower down the ranks. I'm still waiting for them to advertise for Kimi Raikkonen's personal ice cream fetcher.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think I could do that well.
I think that would happen. Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned the crossover in sport, in football and F1, because you mentioned a question you had, Carl.
Yeah, it's just the Chelsea Sauber relationship, which I don't know the finer details of it, but I don't know if it's just a publicity stint or they maybe share data gathering. I don't know, maybe analysis. Obviously, it's a huge amount of analysis in Formula One and in football. Could you ever see maybe Norwich or a football club you're connected with some sort of relationship with a Formula One team? And if so, would there be a preference on the team you would gather? Would it be a benefit? Can you see a benefit with sort of somehow having sort of relationship with a Formula One team?
I think so. If you look at Formula One teams, they're at the cutting edge, aren't they? They're so advanced in what they do, and you know, I think they employ geniuses to get the cars to do what they can do. Even, you know, all joking aside, when we hammer the, let's say, some of the slower cars, you look at the technology level that they've got. I certainly think we could learn a lot from the drivers in terms of their training schedules, and certainly the mentality, because if you look at to do 78 laps, let's say, of Monaco, the technique and the concentration to not clip a barrier or a wall, and I always look at that and think, from a mental side, I think from a physical side, footballers in their own way would be as fit, but you look at the mental concentration, which much go into that, I think we could learn from each other. And then I certainly think, let's say, from executive level of a club, you've got to be able to learn from, let's say, your Toto Wolffs, your Christian Horners, Ron Dennis back in the day when he was in the sport, you know, from a pure leadership of people and how they, you know, take Ferrari now or Red Bull, you know, Christian Horner having to deal with two very complex characters in Max Verstappen and Danny Rick. because And again, the lessons you can learn from that, because people talk about ego of footballers, and some of these guys make footballers look like they've got no money in truth. And, you know, the world that they live in with their yachts and private jets, which is well above beyond most footballers, not all footballers. So I do think we could. In terms of the connection, it's probably how much we could then give back to them. Yeah. They might actually look at us and go, there's not a lot we can get from you. But then there probably is another way. You know, I think football as a spectacle does it better for the supporter. You know, I can talk from an F1 fan being Spain and Monaco the last 2 weeks. I've been to both, fortunately, but let's say the experience of going to a Premier League football match or a Bundesliga football match is far in advance if I was taking a young child or whatever than either of them. You literally sit in a stand and get sunburnt all day, which is great, but if I have a child with me or whatever, I got to say, they'll probably be bored after sort of 20 minutes. But so I think they could learn from us in that, for sure.
Good question, Carl. Tempo, you've been better than me at this malarkey. Were you at QPR, and were Flavio Briatore and Tony Fernandez around at the time?
Briatore wasn't, but Fernandez was. And as one of my regrets, I didn't stay there long enough to ever meet him, because he had Caterham, didn't he?
He did.
He was Caterham, yeah. And I was always thinking, God, if I get close to this guy, my dream of being a driver could come true. But I never met Mr. Fernandez, so
I don't know if he
didn't get off the ground, really.
No, I spoke to him a few times here, and he was a top guy, just maybe didn't quite manage the team properly.
I shared a room with him once. That was about as close as I got. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, we went to the...
Do we want to get into that?
No, as in, like, I was there with, like, many other people, so it wasn't just...
Oh, me. Well, like a hotel room.
Dig that hole?
Yeah, no. Actually, it wasn't really a room. It was more of an aircraft hangar. No, okay. it was a Duxford run when they changed from Team Lotus to Caterham.
Yeah, I was there too, DT.
Yeah, and got to meet Heikki Kovalainen and Jarno Trulli and Tony Fernandez sort of walked past me briefly at one point. I didn't say anything to him, but...
He knew you were.
Obviously.
I always liked interviewing him. I did. It was good. And it was really interesting at that point, because Team Lotus and everyone were just in a f***ing ruck. Legal bills extraordinaire. It was a fun time to be a journalist. Right. DT's going to go. Say goodbye, DT.
Cheerio.
Thanks for all your time. There's a nice shake of the hand with Stuart, and Kyle's going to just ignore him.
Sorry,
there we go. No,
sorry.
No.
Sorry.
Yep, we can leave that in now. Good, good.
Pimmy and Sebastian.
It's all a bit tense. Cheers, DT.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Right, let's rattle through these. Stuart, do you feel settled in Norfolk yet?
Yeah, we better settle with my family here, but so far so good.
Are you aware that Norfolk had such a esteemed F1 history?
No, I didn't, in fairness. I always knew around the Oxfordshire area was obviously huge, but I didn't realise it was as big down here, so that's been proved to be a bonus, I'll be honest.
Well, it does, and it's awesome, obviously. Have you been to Snetterton yet?
No, I've driven past it, though, and every time I drive past it, I'm like, ooh, can't wait to go there.
Track day. Could you do a track day at Snetterton?
Can you do one there?
Well, I think you can do that, yeah. I should probably ask this now, if you don't mind. What car do you drive?
BMW 1 Series.
So you could take that on track day?
Could you?
Oh, sure, you can take anything, to be honest. I could probably take my Peugeot 206.
Yeah,
probably have to pay for the insurance, but... So, there we go. And what car would you want?
Aston Martin DB7.
Yeah, right, I'll take that. That's fine. How do you like the rush cutters?
Nice. First experience. Very nice. When the wife's down here, I'll be certainly bringing her here for a nice evening by the river.
They should definitely pay us for this. And may I ask as well, your little boy has an F1 connection.
Yeah, he's called Sebastian. Named after Sebastian Vettel. It's quite a funny story, this. My wife won't appreciate me telling it, because she doesn't like the truth behind the story of why he's called Sebastian. She's trying to make it sound a bit less blokey. You guys will
alternative truth, yeah.
Yeah. So what happened was, one of my best mates, who's my wife's best mate's husband, is a massive F1 fan. So as soon as I met my wife and him, we like hit the ground running. We've been to Silverstone, Barcelona together, all the rest of it. So anyway, about 4 years ago, we're having a big debate, and he came out with an unbelievable statement. Vettel's just won his fourth world title. Sebastian Vettel's not world class. And it was like that moment where time sort of stands still. I'm going, that's a statement, mate. He's won four world titles. I said, I appreciate, you know, you're not as huge a fan, but come on. No, he's not world class, not world class. So I had a big debate. So Sebastian then obviously moved to Ferrari. And he was then, Kimi will own him, and all that, because he's a big Kimi Raikkonen fan, and Lewis Hamilton. So then obviously Sebastian started showing up, Kimi, bless him. So then I wanted to call our son Jensen, after Jensen Button, but my wife wasn't having it. So I said, what about Sebastian? I Sebastian Vettel. She goes, oh yeah, I like the name Sebastian, I really like it. So then for 9 months during the pregnancy, I was saying to my mate, we're going to call him Sebastian, have Sebastian Vettel. Off. No chance. Never in a million years you doing that. Zoe won't let you as my wife. Zoe won't let you. Da, 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 da. So then obviously the day he's born, Sebastian Patrick Weber. So that's the reason we called him it.
What so, a story.
But
what
it suits
a story.
Him. It suits him. You know, yeah. And, you know, obviously.
And when he's obviously, you know, in the Mercedes drivers program or Ferrari driver program, that, yeah. You know, will the journalists will be saying,
they'll
what's
be all over
after
that.
Vettel. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And Sebastian will, he doesn't know it yet, but I'll be saying, you've got to use that line. That'll get you some, you know.
We'll follow his progress and we'll definitely declare him as a Norfolk boy from now on, that's right.
Must have a lot of Scouser, so yeah. Let's call him Norfolk.
Yeah, fair enough. Good point. Right, now, obviously, this is a Formula One podcast, not a football or soccer podcast. So instead, we'll keep it to Formula One questions for you to answer. Stuart, here's one. You're team principal at Caterham and you help turn them into a highly promising team, only for a struggling McLaren to come along and headhunt your services. You join Woking, get to work, only for Caterham, that team you built, to win the biggest prize in F1. How do you feel?
Delighted for Caterham. Absolutely delighted, you know, because leadership's all about leaving a legacy. So I'd be happy with the legacy that I left at Caterham, but looking forward to trying to achieve the same things at McLaren.
Good, interesting answer. Your job at McLaren involves a lot of cogs that have been there for a while. You know, they've just, you know, they've maybe got a bit stale. But how do you help freshen things up and get the best out of everyone?
Change is good sometimes, so changing some of them cogs and bringing in newer cogs who maybe can go in a slightly different direction is always a good way to do it, and I'd probably do that quite quickly once I started at McLaren.
He hasn't walked out yet, this is good. At McLaren, you have a driver you desperately want. You'll like this one. He's not British. The only thing is, in English, his name is quite amusing and will almost certainly be picked up by the Sun when the success you hoped for inevitably happens. Does it ever get brought up when you meet or talk to each other?
Not yet, no. It hasn't done yet, but it will.
And he must be aware, mustn't he?
Oh, he's aware, because
his name.
Assistant hammers him pretty much every day for it.
Is that right?
So, yeah. You know, why don't you off? And stuff like that, so.
Hashtag Bants Club.
Hashtag Bants, yeah. German Bants.
German Bants. And they say Germans aren't funny. Does anyone say that?
And they do have a point with some of them.
You can't say that, can you? Yeah,
No. The ones I've worked with, okay, but... generalisation are not the most funniest.
I'm going to leave that one to you, Carl.
I have a German girlfriend, so I better distance myself from that.
Well, no, quite the opposite. Is it true?
They're good fun. They're organised, but they're good fun.
Does she speak English?
Yes. Oh. Yes. Yeah.
Do you speak German?
No.
No.
Nine.
Nice.
not enough. I need to do more.
Is your German good?
It must be.
Nine. I can understand it quite well. In all seriousness, certainly if you're talking around football, I can understand, got to know that.
Presser.
Yeah.
Is that a German word?
Gegenpressing.
Well, Gegenpressing.
Scheiser.
That's a good one. Obviously, we're still talking about Formula One. Just one more. To pair your exciting import of your foreign driver, you also caught by a driver that's just become available called Wiley Motkins. Now, the press link you heavily with him. How likely is it they're right?
It's not right to comment on other people's, staff or drivers.
Beautifully done. There are a couple of just very quick, proper questions. In terms, some fans, you know what they're like? They'll think, Norwich City, it needs all this work. And you're going to F1 and then you come down the pub to join us drinking. Like, but seriously.
Diet Coke for me, please.
It was very much a Diet Coke and people can see that in the picture, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. But, I mean... do you get a holiday? Is it hard? Do you have to balance that? Or do you go away, take your phone and you end up working while you're on a break anyway?
Oh, yeah, you don't. There's no such thing as a holiday. That sounds ridiculous, but you don't. So I'll take the wife away. We'll go away for 4 days, but she knows the rules. The phone will be on. And the difference is, what I've learned better as I've got a little bit older and a bit more experienced is there is some calls you don't have to take, and you can text the odd person back and go, can I ring you in 3 days? I'm away, knowing that it's not desperate, but... the summer's a busy time in football and it's a big summer that we need to get right, so I wouldn't thank myself if I was, you know, I've come back all nicely rested and a nice holiday and we didn't do the job right, you know, I wouldn't like to do that, you know.
Yeah, spot on. And we obviously had just finally on football, because I know half the people listening to this don't give a
good.
Are the meetings gone well initially with Daniel Farke? I think good. He's sort of close to coming in properly and getting to
good.
Work now.
Yeah, he's been here all day today. know, people obviously don't probably know what day this is, but he's been here all today and tomorrow, and then he goes, he's having a few days then away with the family, which is important, and then we'll get to work properly. But the thing is, so many things are set up that we've just got to push the buttons on a few things now he's here, which is a nice sort of position to be in. And you know, obviously I've been speaking to him for a little while unofficially, and painting the pictures for him and discussing things which were sort of imminently needed to be discussed. So you know, it's not like this is the first day and we haven't met before, you know, we're pretty far down the line on a few things.
Excited?
Very, very excited. Just want the season to start now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Right, okay, well, finally, because I know you've got to get going, we need your predictions for Canada, because we need to get them in now. And I'm hoping you'll keep this up. Before every race, always before FP1, they're the rules.
Okay.
And you can be as wild as you want, because you get kudos points for that. So what's going to happen in Canada, Stuart?
In what way? Top 10 or?
Whatever you want. Who's going to finish where?
Actually, before the last one.
Thank you.
The winner will be Sebastian Vettel, comfortably. Again, Raikkonen won't finish a race.
Because
Bottas and Hamilton will have the first public falling out over something. And the McLaren of Fernando Alonso will get a point.
Which would be like a Indy fired point, wouldn't it? Thank you, Stuart, so much for your time. Will you come on again at some point?
If I'm invited, absolutely, yeah.
Well, we'll have a conflab between ourselves and we'll decide if you can come back on. Yeah. We won't do that in front of you. But yeah, brilliant stuff. Just some plugs. You can email us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. The website and subscribe links are all at nrf1.uk, and you can follow us on social media. The handles will be at the NRF1. Next week, you know the drill, I'm sure. 3 podcasts in 3 days, including our Canadian preview and predictions, but starting with our F1 news review featuring your audio submissions and questions on our Twitter and Facebook pages. If you want your voice heard on the podcast, then simply press the red button over at nrf1.uk or send us a message, post a comment, whatever you want to do. But for now, thanks so much for Stuart Webber for joining us. Here's to Norris City being as successful as Mercedes, Ferrari and Red Bull combined in the future. Thanks to Kyle, thanks to DT, thanks to myself, obviously. Thanks to all you for listening. We really appreciate your ears. Thanks to proud partners Grand Prix Racing Online, where you can sign up at gpro.net/nrf1. This has been the NRF1 podcast, and we'll be back next week. Until then, goodbye.